People can say many things about the Jews, and they do. But as a people, we are a charitable people. We look after one another. We look after others. It's instilled within us a sense of giving what can be called charity, although the Hebrew word tzedakah is so much better. But there's something interesting. If you go back and look in the Torah, so where does it actually speak about this ethic, or more importantly, where does it speak about the law? So one of the places that we'll find is in this week's Parsha, in Parshat Re'eh. It speaks about opening up one's hands and helping the other, making sure that they're going to be okay financially. Now, what's interesting is the context. The context is talking about the sabbatical year. The reason why that's interesting is in a different Parsha, in Parshat Bahar, back in Vayikra, which was also speaking about the sabbatical year, it also has the same idea in terms of helping out one's proverbial brother and doing charity, tzedakah, helping the other individual, staying on their feet, and so on and so forth. Now, while there's no question that the law of tzedakah will be a law which really is on an individual and will apply wherever there's somebody in need, nonetheless, when one looks at the Jewish sources, one finds something which is interesting. Because ultimately, we can't move that afar from the actual context of the Torah itself. Although I'm sure there are some who can. Just, no, this is a good thing. Give tzedakah. It's obvious. But nonetheless, it's written within the context of the land of Israel. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, which is really one of the most, if not the most authoritative book on Jewish law, it speaks about priorities in terms of recipients. And one of the things that it says is that people in the land of Israel are, and now this is somewhat subject to how it's going to be understood, but are a priority. We'll leave it like that. What does it mean, a priority? Is it a priority absolutely in terms of all other people, or is it all other people outside of immediate family, city, and so on and so forth? There was a remarkable person, Rabbi Yisroel from Shklov, and the truth is a whole book should be written about him, and probably a movie should be made about his life. Yisroel Shklov, as a young man, studied with the Vilna Gaon. He spent the days and nights with the Vilna Gaon right before he died. He said the last 20 days of the Vilna Gaon's life, he never left his side. He was with him the entire time. He was responsible for the publication of some of the important works for the Vilna Gaon as well. And ultimately, he makes a choice, together with other students of the Vilna Gaon, he makes a remarkable choice, and that is to leave what was understood or seen at that time as the epicenter of Jewish life, Europe, although many, many Sephardim would disagree with me, and I acknowledge that. But that was perceived by the Ashkenazi Jews, and to travel off and to move to the land of Israel. Now, for Yisroel from Shklov, and he was a rabbi in Shklov for around 10 years, his grandfather had already moved to Israel long before. He never knew this grandfather. His grandfather moved to Israel, and this is one of the things I believe as well was in the back of his mind. And finally, he picks up with his family, and as far as we understand, his father and his mother and his wife and his children, and they all go and they move to the land of Israel. And this was the third wave within 1 year or 1 or 2 years of students of the Vilna Gaon to move to Israel. Consequently, his life was incredibly difficult. The Talmud says that Israel is acquired by difficulty, and this man had almost every difficulty that one can possibly imagine. Almost immediately after getting there, he was told that there's no money, and this community is just collapsing from the burden. So they asked him to go back. After making this difficult trip, traveling across the world and settling in Israel, he picks up and he travels and he leaves for 3 years. During this time, he writes a commentary on a book which is called Shkalim, one of the tractates in the Yerushalmi, but it deals with gifts, holy gifts. And there he is traveling to try to bring money back to the land of Israel, and he's making sure that his commentary on Shkalim, on giving coins, which ultimately could be used for the Beit HaMikdash, is being published at the same time. He comes back to Israel. He has more and more difficulties. During this time, there's a plague. He ends up losing his wife, and he loses his daughter, and he loses a son, and he loses another son, and his parents die. And he remarries, and his second wife dies, and a house collapses on his children. He loses more children, and there is an earthquake, and episode after episode. And what he did, he made a vow that he's going to write about the laws of the land of Israel. And he wrote a book called the Pat HaShulchan, or Pas HaShulchan, which in a sense is a continuation of the Shulchan Aruch, and it deals with laws about living in Israel. And there he writes that there is an absolute obligation of tzedakah, charity. The primary obligation is to give to people in the land of Israel. And within his time, within his context, within his life, it's very, very clear. He's telling them that if you give to the land of Israel, you're doing something which is aside from helping a poor person. And again, every poor person deserves to be helped. He's saying, but you're doing something else. You're building up the land of Israel. You have a part within what's called Yishuv Haaretz, in settling the land. You're a part of this. And maybe it's unfair to judge somebody's writings based upon their life and their biography. But in this case, it's not. This was his life. His life was building up the land of Israel. His life was trying to create a new society of Jews who returned to their homeland. And then we go back and we look in this week's parsha, and we see that the concept of tzedakah, is written specifically within the context of the land of Israel during difficulty, the sabbatical year. The farmer has no money. He's going to have to take loans. Someone has to help them. That we need to live together and to work together and to make sure not just that the individual, but that the society thrives. This week, a lot of Jews all over the world have finished the Gemara of Shabbat and they're starting Erevin. One of the things that Erevin deals with are different types of places. There's what's called a Rishut HaRabim or Rishut HaYachid. Rishut HaYachid is a private domain. Rishut HaRabim is a public domain. Essentially, what Rav Yisrael from Shklov understands is that there's giving charity to an individual, which is Rishus HaYachid, or Rishut HaYachid, helping one person, and that's important. But then there is this leveraging of giving charity, which could be given to create a whole society. And that's given to build a Rishut HaRabim. But not just any Rishut HaRabim. A Rishut HaRabim, a public place, which is the holiest public place in the land of Israel. So as he keeps his vow, and he writes his book, and he gets to this law of charity, law of tzedakah, it was a no-brainer. Rav Yisrael from Shklov understood exactly, based on the context of the Torah, based upon rabbinic comments on it, notably the Sefri, that the primary idea of tzedakah is a Rishut HaRabim, is a public idea, to help build a Jewish public, to take care of a public, to take care of the farmers, to take care of those who don't have, in order to build something which is glorious. He never lived to see the establishment of the state, but he dreamed of it. He dreamed of messianic days. He dreamed of a society that will take care of one another. He dreamed of a holy society. We have been privileged to see what Rav Yisrael sacrificed so much to start. We've been privileged to see, not the very end, but so much closer to the end than Rav Yisrael ever saw.